if it's been a book that's encouraged you and that's challenged you. And so what I thought I'd do tonight is I'd just review the book of Ephesians and then deal with this last section. So as you remember, our letter to the Ephesians can be kind of divided into two halves. We have our calling in chapters 1 to 3, and we have our living or our walking in chapters 4 to 6. Remember the little seesaw diagram? We had a really big calling. We had a large person sitting on one end of the seesaw, knocking up this thinner, lighter person on the other end of the seesaw. The message from that really is that our walking or our living should really balance the calling that we've been called to, and it's a large calling. So let me just quickly review this for us. Now, in one of the first things that we learnt was God's plan for the fullness of times. And this was a mystery that in the past was hidden, but has been revealed to Paul, and it's also been revealed to us. And we find that in chapter 1 and verse 10. And this is the mystery. God's plan for the fullness of times was that all things in heaven and earth will be unified under the headship and the lordship of Christ. Jesus has been raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God, where he rules over all in the heavenly realms. We've been made alive. We've been raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. You remembering the chart still as I was saying all this? We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, and we've been adopted as God's own children. Our inheritance is assured because we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as a stamp, as a seal, a pledge of our inheritance. And now Jesus dwells in our hearts through the Holy Spirit by faith. Now, God did this even when we were dead in our sins. And he did this because of his great love for us and his great mercy and his grace. We're incapable of saving ourselves by our own good works. But through the blood of Christ, we've been redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father. Now we're his children. We also learnt that we are God's new humanity, the church, made up of Christian, Jews and Gentiles, created in Christ Jesus to do good works and to be holy and blameless before him. Paul has shown us the depths of God's love and wisdom in salvation. And he prays that we will know how great is our calling and how immeasurable is God's love to us in Christ. In chapters 4 to 6, Paul has taught us that our walking or living as God's new society should balance and be worthy of our calling that we've been called to in chapters 1 to 3. Our living should be characterized by humility, gentleness, patience, and tolerance as we imitate God and live a life of love just as Jesus did, our great example. We've learned that the things of our old self, our former sinful nature that divided us and incurred God's wrath, are to be cast off. Our minds need to be renewed daily by the Holy Spirit, and we need to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. And we are to live as children of light, and have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. We're not even to talk about them or mention them. And as we learnt last week from Stu, in our relationships we should be subject to one another in fear and reverence of Christ, as our relationships reflect the love of Christ and his love dwelling in us. Well, in this final section of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul urges them to stand firm in God's strength and in God's armour against Satan and the forces of wickedness and darkness in the heavenly realms. It's a lot to take in, but that's where we're up to now. So it's time now to break that with a bit of a story. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. You might know I'm an electrician. You may know or you may not know that I'm a really keen fisherman. I've been fishing ever since I could hold a fishing rod. I grew up in Narrabeen and I used to wander down to North Narrabeen Bridge and I'd fish for hours there and I'd have a great time catching many undersized fish and bringing them home. Maybe give them some to the cat. But I really enjoyed this. And so when I moved up to the North Coast, up to Yamba, in the late 70s, my fishing continued. And I was about 17 or 18, and I was hanging around with some kids that have just left school and started their apprenticeships and things. And I started hanging around with a guy a couple of years younger than me who was a really keen surfer. And who was a great fisherman, and he came from a family of great fishermen. I mean, they caught 80-pound jewfish and things like that off the rocks. And so I hadn't done any rock fishing, so I got into rock fishing, and it was really good. So the first thing I needed was some sandals with some cleats. Now, cleats are stainless steel sort of U-shaped bracket things that have serrated edges on cut into them, and you bolt them onto your plastic sandals. And you can walk around the rocks quite safely, even when there's waves and things. I don't know if you've ever walked around the rocks and you've come across black moss. Black moss is so slippery, and before you know it, you've landed on your back. But with the rock-hopping cleats, no problem at all. Anyway, so I've got into quite a lot of fishing, and we used to fish at the northern end of a beach called Pippi Beach, and where there was a headland called Lover's Point. Should have been Fisherman's Point, really. And it had a long, flat platform, not unlike Whale Beach at the wedge there at the northern end, where there's a nice, flat bit of rocks there. Anyway, this particular day, I was fishing with my mate, and we were fishing for tailor with unweighted, just some hooks and a pilchard, no sinker. And what used to happen was when you'd lose your bait and wind your line in, it would wash around on the rocks. And so you had to wind in quite quickly, so he didn't get snagged. Now, one of the other things that was on those rocks that Cole Thompson tells me are periwinkles are those little shells that we called Chinaman's hats. And they were just a little cup-shaped shell. And they used to stick firm onto those rocks, and you could hardly get them off. And when a wave washed past, they'd lift up. And when your line washed past, they'd clamp down on your line. And so I had this periwinkle, or Chinaman's hat, clamped down on my fishing line. So I got my great big 14-foot rod with its big butt and I was bang, bang, and I was trying to free my line. Well, the next thing you know, I was washed over. I was washed along this flat rock platform with a rod in one hand, completely saturated, completely out of control. And when the wave finally died down, I landed at the feet of three older fishermen who looked down and just looked up and kept fishing. They never laughed, they never said anything, they didn't have to. There I was, knocked over and soaking wet, what a fool. Tonight's message is all about standing firm. Standing firm in God's power and standing firm in God's armour. Being prepared. Stand firm or get swept away. So let's have a look at it. In the first section in verses 10 to 13, Paul urges us to be strong in the Lord and to take our stand against the devil's schemes. If you've got your Bibles open, I'm just going to read through these sections. So 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. Be strong in the Lord and take your stand. Now, there's a few things that we're finding out about this battle that we're in and the enemy that we're facing. First of all, our enemy is not flesh and blood. We can't stand against him because he's not human. He's a spiritual enemy. Our enemy is invisible. We can't see him. And our enemy is stronger than us. He's not a human. He's stronger than us. And we can't fight against him in our own strength. Our enemy is clever. He's a higher intelligence than us. We can't take him on with our intellects. And he's relentless. He will never stop attacking until he's finally defeated when Jesus comes again. And our enemy is Satan. And he schemes against us. He just doesn't do random things. He's got a plan and a strategy. We've just done a strategic plan for our church, and we've met time and time again, and we've thought about it, and we've come up with plans and strategies about where we want to go. Satan is constantly scheming against us. All the things that we've learned in Ephesians, all the great things God has given us, our standing and our status, Satan wants to attack those things. Our unity, Satan wants to divide. Our old self that we've put off, Satan wants us to put it back on again, to live like we did before. The Holy Spirit that indwells us, Satan wants us to grieve. Now, Ephesians is very clear. Christ rules over all in the heavenly realms, but Satan still wages war against the saints. And Paul calls it a struggle, if you see in verse 12. If Paul calls it a struggle, it's a struggle. We're in a war. And we're powerless to fight him in our own strength. But we're able to resist him in the Lord's might when we're wearing God's armour. As Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, in the next section, Paul tells us what God's armour is and tells us to stand firm in it. Let me read this section. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, the first thing we learn about the armour, it's not ours. It's not our armour, it's God's armour. And we need to be wearing it all the time. We should never take it off, because we don't know, just as I was fishing off the rocks, we just don't know when that wave of attack is going to come. We need to be wearing God's armour all the time. Now, each piece of the armour relates to the gospel. And it's the gospel that has defeated Satan. When Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of rule, the right hand of the Father, where he rules over all things, Satan was defeated then. So it's the gospel that has defeated Satan. Let's look at all the bits. Truth is the knowledge that Jesus rules over all. And we stand firm as we live our lives for him. Righteousness has to do with our salvation and transformation. And we stand firm when we put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We stand firm when we live out and proclaim the gospel that brings peace. As we live out the gospel, as we proclaim it, as we move forward in those gospel shoes, we're advancing the kingdom of God. And that's how we stand firm against Satan, and that's how we advance against him. Our faith in God, the shield, is a knowledge of the reigning Christ in the heavenly realms. It's the power of God in us through the Holy Spirit. And God's immeasurable love to us in Christ. Now we can stand firm against Satan in this knowledge when Satan tempts us or sows doubts in our minds. And this is where most of the attacks begin. Satan attacks our minds. He's really sneaky. He rarely attacks us head on. Maybe more in Africa and countries like that. It's more visible there. But especially in our Western culture, Satan attacks us subtly. Just like a wave comes and slowly erodes the beach, Satan is working on us. Don't be, Don't be unaware of this. Satan is always doing this. He attacks our minds. Think about this when we went through Ephesians in our old nature that we cast off. The first thing that happened was our minds were renewed by God's Holy Spirit, and then we were able to put on the new clothes to be more like Jesus. Satan wants our minds. He wants our thoughts, he wants our wills, and that's where he's going to attack us. Well, like the shield, the helmet of salvation is the salvation won for us in Christ. And we stand firm when we live our lives in this knowledge, living a life of love. The Word of God, the Bible, is our offensive weapon to cut through the devil's lies. The Holy Spirit brings these words to life as we meditate on his word day and night, as we read it, as we let it sink in, as God's Spirit reveals it to us and teaches us. This is a weapon that we need to stand firm against Satan. Remember Jesus when Jesus was being tempted? He'd just been baptized by John, and the Spirit had descended on him as a dove, and he made for the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. And what I believe is the greatest understatement in the Bible is that after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Think about it. He was hungry, and he was weak, and he was vulnerable. Isn't that just the way Satan attacks us? When things are on top of us? When we're fatigued? So how did Jesus react? How did Jesus stand firm? Satan said to him, "See these rocks? You're hungry? Turn them into bread, if you're the Son of Man." Jesus' reply was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need to read our Bibles. We need to stand firm in the knowledge that it brings. I kind of thought about this armour, and, you know, we could nearly all visualise the Roman soldier with all this armour on, but I thought of a scuba diver. Our eldest boy got into scuba diving some years ago, and I was astounded at all the gear that he had to buy. And I'm just glad that he was working at that stage and I didn't have to buy it for him. So he needed his wetsuit to keep him warm. He needed a weight belt so he could sink down. He needed goggles so he could see. He needed fins so he could swim. He needed a BCD, which is a buoyancy control device, which allows you to go up and down in different depths of the water. He needed a regulator so that he could breathe, and the most important thing is he needed that oxygen on his back so that he could stay underwater for some time. And so just as he needed that scuba gear in that environment underwater, so we need to be putting on and continually wearing the armour of God to take our stand against Satan. Well, the final and the most important piece of the armour that we need to put on is prayer. Let me read this last section. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." We need to pray always, at all times. We need constantly to be praying. We need to pray in the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit guides our thinking and helps us to pray. You see the inference here? This whole section is all about God's power and God's might and God's strength. And so naturally we pray in God's Spirit as God's Spirit empowers us and helps us to pray. When we're praying, we're acknowledging our dependence on God and our trust in the ascended Christ ruling to help us as we take our stand against Satan. And we need to pray on all occasions, not just when we're in trouble. I know that many non-Christians, when they're in trouble, in dire trouble, and I've heard this happened especially in the world wars, that people cried out to God to help them. But that's not just the only time that we should be praying. We should do that. We should pray when we're in trouble, but that shouldn't be the limit of our prayers. You see, prayer is a privilege that we have in Christ. As Ephesians has taught us in chapter 3 and verse 12, we can now approach God with freedom and with confidence. You know, we can actually enter that throne room where the God who created all the universe, like we read in that psalm tonight, we can come into his presence as his children. He's our heavenly Father. He loves us and he cares about us. And he longs that we would communicate with him and to pray to him. And we need to do this if we're going to take our stand in this evil world. We need to pray with all kinds of requests, depending on what we need to pray about at the time. And we need to pray for ourselves individually to take our stand against the devil. And we need to pray for others. We especially need to pray for those who minister among us. And we need to pray for boldness as we proclaim the gospel and as we try to live it out. We need boldness to walk forward in those gospel shoes. When was the last time that you started off your day and you prayed for boldness that God would bring someone across your path that you would proclaim the gospel to? Or when was the last time you prayed and asked God to help you to be a good witness for him in your work or in your play or whatever you're doing? We need to pray for boldness. Even Paul needed to pray for it. Look how often Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed both in times of joy and in times of great need and great sorrow. He thanked the Father for his disciples. I thank you that you have made me known to them, that they know that I'm from you. And he prayed in times of great need. What about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. It's more than I can bear. But not my will, but yours be done. And he longed to have those disciples stay awake to pray with him. We need to be doing that. Individually, we need to be praying constantly. We need to keep that line of communication with God open. We need to do it individually. And we need to do it as groups, in small groups, in home groups, corporately as a church, and we need to pray for our world as well. You see, prayer is essential for taking our stand against the devil and his schemes. So let me sum it up in a few words. Be alert, stand firm in the full armour of God and in his power, and pray at all times. Let me just pray for us now. Lord, we just thank you for this great letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Lord, we pray that we would continue to probe the depths of your love for us and what it means to be in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would empower us to take our stand against Satan in these last days, in this evil world. Lord, empower us to take our stand against him in your armour, in Jesus' name.